A lot of things are happening at Calvary. Listen, if you happened to stop by yesterday there in the church parking lot, the large one area out here, man, they had an incredible, the mission team, Steve Carroll, all the helpers, an incredible garage sale. I mean, there were people coming from everywhere. I don't have the total, but I think maybe $300,000 or $400,000 was raised or something like that. Steve, don't ever give me that number again unless you're serious, okay? No, but anyway, it was a very, very great success, and so I just want to thank all, Steve, Carol, all the mission team. You guys are just awesome, and I do know a good bit of money was raised for the work that we do. Also, speaking of the mission team, we're in the midst of a shoe drive. I pray you're participating in that. That is, of course, for the children at the orphanage in Mexico. The deadline is next Sunday. That's December the 13th. New shoes only. No characters on the shoes. I guess that means you can't have like Bambi on it, you know, or Winnie the Pooh, or never mind. First service loves me. I'm already worried about the second service here. So no characters on the shoes. And for a list of sizes, very important, all you have to do is visit our website or go on the app. Now, on the Christmas Eve service we'll be having, we've decided that it's probably best due to our size, without having to do multiple Christmas Eve services, that it's probably best for me just to live stream that service. It'll be from my home to your home. So that'll be happening. I'll announce the time later. We will also be restoring our Wednesday evening services. They will resume in January, but again, they will be live streamed only until we finally get through this pandemic. Amen. Also, our Christmas services, we're going to have two of them beginning next Sunday and the following Sunday. So don't miss that. We're going to have, there's a surprise video for both those services that you're really, really going to enjoy. So I hope to see you next two Sundays for that. And of course, the last Sunday, Pastor Raul, he always delivers the last Sunday of the year in December, the sermon. He told me that he will be telling us when the rapture will occur. He knows the day and the hour, so you don't want to miss that service. I'm already in trouble. Now, I know that I told you last Sunday that I was going to be maybe, I didn't promise, delivering the New Year's sermon today. We've moved that up, or the Lord has, to January 3rd, the first Sunday. So that's when I'll be delivering that word. So with all that being said, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we praise you. We thank you for all that you're doing. And Lord God, I pray this morning as I approach the greatest prayer ever given on earth and written in the Word of God. I pray, Father, for me. I pray that I bring justice to it, that I don't somehow stain it. I pray, Lord, as I teach this area of Scripture, that, Lord God, I know I've entered into holy ground and I want it to stay that way. And I know that you will help me to teach it faithfully and accurately and truthfully to the best of the ability and the equipping that you've given unto me. But I also pray, Father, as our year is now winding down and Christmas is before us and Jesus the reason for this incredible season, I pray, Father, that your sheep, the sheep of your pasture that are present, those that are listening around the world even now, that their ears are open. And Lord, not that, but their hearts are open to the great truths that we're going to cover this morning. And Lord, we pray also in the midst of this pandemic, the spike, the surge, the over-the-top surge, oh God, we lift up our first responders, our EMTs, our doctors, our nurses. Lord, help them, strengthen them, give them the strength of a lion, oh Lord, and the weariness that they're facing. Protect them and also their families, Lord. But Lord, as I was noticing the other day in the hospital, protect those great men and women who go into the rooms and into the surgical rooms and the ER rooms and clean, Lord, those rooms after the patient has left. Please bless those workers, Lord, and bless us as we open up your word. We love you. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name, and we all say, Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning. We're going to go back to where we were last Sunday. We're going to be in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, we're going to cover all 26 verses. I want to ask you a question. You know, 2020, here we are, this another year is closing out. It has been a long adventure, hasn't it? Hasn't this been, does it seem like a long year to you? It does to me. Matter of fact, it seems everything seems so mixed up that my days are actually off. I'm not in sequence. We're out of our comfort zones. We're out of our routine, aren't we? And you know what? We've been through a time of testing. We've been through a time of trial. And more than that, loved one, now listen, and the trials and the testings, they're not over yet, but they will be. And we have to remain strong. So I don't want you to be discouraged, and God doesn't want us to be discouraged. Listen, you are a chosen generation, amen? And God chose you for a specific time to be born in this life. And guess what? You were born for such a time as this. God, you're prepared to go what we're going through. You have the Holy Spirit, you have the grace of God, and you have the Word of God. But more than that, did you know that Jesus, in the high priestly prayer that we're about to cover this morning in John's Gospel, chapter 17, did you know that Jesus prayed for you 2,000 years ago? Amen? I know you know that. But did you know, or do you really know and believe that Jesus is praying for you right now? Right this minute. We're not alone, loved one. He said he would never leave us. He would never forsake us. He would never relax his hold upon us. Lo, Jesus said, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. The Bible tells us right this very minute that Jesus is praying for us, for you. In Hebrews 7:25, it says, therefore, and that word therefore is very important because the writer of Hebrews is talking about the unchangeable priesthood of Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest who sitting at the right hand of God. Amen? Now, it says, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Every believer. That is an incredible word and an incredible promise. Listen to this one. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus has saved us, those who come to him, has saved us, will save us, continues to save us to the uttermost. You know what that word uttermost means? Completely, forever. He is right here with us this very minute. He's gone through the pandemic with you. He'll continue to go through the pandemic with you. Amen? He saves us to the uttermost, completely. What God, remember what Paul says? And this is a confidence that we have in him. That he who began a good work will complete it until the very day of Christ Jesus. And that's what's going on in our hearts right now. But what I love about that scripture I just read you, it says that Jesus not sometimes lives, he always lives to make intercession for you. I don't know that there's anything greater than that, amen? Do you know what that means? It means right this minute, seated at the right hand of God, we have the greatest representative, the greatest advocate in all of the universe, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? He is in heaven representing you before God. He'll never, ever lose you. Do you know Jesus doesn't lose sheep? Amen? No, he is perfect in his math. He never does that. So, you know, you may have been feeling like, you know what, you've been alone through this pandemic. And there are times that I felt the same way, but it's not true. Those are just feelings, and feelings can be wrong, can't they? In other words, when you were a child, you might have thought, well, you were afraid of the dark, right? And you had a little night light or something. I don't know. I still have mine, you know? And you're afraid of the dark, and you went in and ran and got in bed with mom and dad, and, oh, mommy, there's somebody in my room. There's someone under my bed. But there was no one under your bed. But you believed there was someone under your bed. You felt there was someone under your bed. Amen? Okay, we don't walk by feelings, do we? No, we walk by truth. We walk by the Word of God. We walk by faith. Listen, in this time that we've had, beginning in March 13th, this whole nightmare, if you will, that's not over yet, He has carried you. He has carried me through this pandemic. Did you know that? Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've felt more alone than you've ever felt in your life. Maybe that every trial that could ever imaginable come into your life has come into your life. I'm telling you what, He has been there with you every step of the way, every trial, every dark day, and He will be with you to the very last day that you depart from this planet and enter your home in heaven. Amen? And He's praying for you. He's praying for me. I don't know how that makes you feel. It gives me incredible strength to know that in loneliness, when I don't know what to do, when I don't know which way to turn, that I have someone, the greatest person who has been given all authority and all power in heaven and upon earth. He loves me. He loves you. He intercedes on my behalf. I am His body. You're His body. Whenever His body hurts, He knows it. Whenever your body hurts, do you know it? Yes, and you're part of the body of Christ. We are members one of another. So there in this private farewell message of Jesus, which started all the way back, the Upper Room Discourse is what we call it, all the way back in chapter 13, He comes to the end of chapter 16 and He finishes teaching His disciples. And that's where I would like to begin before we go into the Lord's Prayer. It says in verse 33 of John 16, Jesus said, "These things," and we'd have to stop right there and say, "What things?" Well, chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, okay? "So these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have" what? I have to stop. Loved one, listen to me. Do you really believe that? Well, I tell you what, I know I need that on 820. I mean, I hate to use 820. I don't like 820. I don't even like the people on 820. No, I'm just being honest, and I don't care. The Lord knows that I can't hide my sin. I mean, those people, you know, there's something wrong. I think, these people, every week they run me off the road. It's like I have a sign on the back of my car, you know, kick me or something, you know, force me off the road, bypass me at 120 miles an hour, pull over in front of me as quick as you can when you do that. You don't ever have that happen to you, do you? Let me start all over. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me," Jesus said, "in me," not in the world, not in religion, but in a great, incredible relationship. "In me," Jesus says, "you may have peace." And that's what we need. And we can have that. He says, "In the world, you will have" what? Tribulation. Listen, that's a promise from Jesus. We're going to have problems in this life. We're going to have trials. We're going to have testings. There's going to be wars. Jesus said, "Don't let your heart be troubled about those things." There's going to be pandemics. There may be another pandemic in 20 years. I don't know. God knows. But there's going to be tribulation in this world. But listen to what He says. These are the last words of Jesus' teaching. He knows He's going to the cross in just a few hours. Do you understand from this text? He says, "But be courageous," or "be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have deprived the world of all of its power. I have conquered the world for you. You be of good cheer." What was happening when Jesus spoke those words? There's the kid. They're walking. The Kidron Brook is not too far from them. They're going to cross over that. Then Jesus is going up into prayer at Gethsemane. They're in the garden. And guess what's happening? As He's praying and saying those words, "I've overcome the world," Judas is in the city gathering the priest and the Roman officers and the soldiers to come and arrest the Lord, to come and betray Him with a kiss. In 3 hours or less, he's going to be put upon the cross and die for the sins of the world. Now listen, Jesus said, "I've overcome this world." That means everything in this world, all the problems of this world, everything that this world can throw at you, Jesus has beaten for you. Amen? But you have to believe those things. We are getting ready to move into 2021, and we must, every believer, I know that right now We've gone through a bunch of junk, and I hate it, and I know you hate it. But we must, as this year starts closing out, go celebrate your Christmas, all those things. And then let's start getting your mind right. A reset, a renewal of your attitudes, a renewal in the way that you think, loved one. Listen, we possess peace in the midst of anything, even this pandemic. Is that okay? We possess it right now. But here's the deal. You're going to have peace in 2021, but you have to believe the word of God. You have to believe it. Peace is not a place. You've heard me teach that 1,000 times. You know, it's like, for example, I'm taking Becky to Hawaii for Christmas, and we're going to go out there and lay on the beach. And I just wanted to, you know, I know you don't believe that because I'm not going to do that. Now you lost me. Where was I supposed to go? Peace is not a place. What did David say? Oh, if I had wings like a dove, I would fly away from the tempest or the storm, you know, and I would have rest, or I'd be at peace. No, peace is not a location. Peace is a person. Peace is he is the Prince of Peace. Man, his peace belongs to you. So you must do something. Next year, we're moving into it. You must renew your mind about the world that we are living in right now. And John the apostle of love, he told us in 1 John 5:4, he says that whoever you are, whatever nationality you are, rich or poor, doesn't matter. He says, whoever is born from above, whoever is a new creation in Christ, whoever has trusted Jesus Christ as the Lord has overcome the world. Do you believe that? That's the only criteria. You don't have to, well, I need this. No. All you have to do is, if you're born of God, you've overcome the world. That's it. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So you have to believe. You have to believe what God said. We have overcome this world and everything that's in this world. He goes on and he says, and who is he who overcometh the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We have to believe that. Everything that's in the world, not the bees, the trees, the rivers, the rocks, the sun. Did you see that rainbow this morning? Did you see that? God bless you. One person. Man, I took pictures. I did the selfie, the whole thing. I have not seen a rainbow. You know, the one where it goes all the way over? It was wide. I'll post a picture. I'll put it on Facebook. Abby will do that. I don't know how to get on Facebook, but she does. And it was beautiful. And it blessed me. It was like God gave me a something special today. Do you know what I'm saying? God is so good. And so here, faith, believing. Now, Jesus is about to pray. This is a holy ground, loved one. Matthew Henry, you know what he said? He said, before us is the greatest prayer ever uttered on earth. We call it the Lord's Prayer because it is his prayer. It's not, you know, everybody says, well, the Lord's Prayer, Bill, is our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, you know, and so forth. No, that's the disciples' prayer. Remember in Luke 11, whenever the disciples came unto Jesus and they said, oh Lord, would you teach us to pray as John the Baptist, as he's taught his disciples to pray? And Jesus said, after this manner, pray ye. You know, our Father, that's a corporate prayer for the body of Christ. Our Father, which art in heaven. This is not the Lord's Prayer. That's the disciples' prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. It's the longest prayer recorded by Jesus in the Bible, over 632 words. But listen, just because it's the longest prayer in the Bible does not mean Jesus did not pray longer. Remember, he went all night, prayed all night before he ever selected the 12. Remember that? He went up into the mountains and he prayed. So this is just what God wanted us to have, is this incredible prayer. And it is a privilege and an honor to read what our Savior prayed, the perfect prayer. The one who did everything that pleased God the Father is about to pray. And he's going to pray for three things, three areas. Can you imagine? I mean, if you were getting ready in a few hours, you knew that you were going to go home to heaven, what would you be praying? Think about that. I mean, I can think of a lot of things. Amen? But I want you to pay attention. Jesus knows he's getting ready to pay the sin debt of the world. He knows what he's facing, the beatings, the scourgings, the hate, and then to have all the sin of mankind poured upon him. Oh, listen, he knows what he's about to face. But look how he prays. The first five verses, he prays for himself. And then verses 6 through, 19, he prays for his disciples. And then from 20 to 26, he prays for you and he prays for me. However, the whole prayer revolves around us as well. So I look at this and I say, oh, Lord. It says in John 17, 1, after Jesus, now, after he spake these words, the words of chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, look what he did. He lifted up his eyes to where? And he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. Now listen carefully. Did you notice the posture of prayer? Now, you know, if you study out the Bible, there's all kinds of posture of prayer. You can kneel. Do you ever kneel before the Lord when you pray? You know, Paul writes to Timothy in the church there, he says that all men should lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting when they pray. Now, you can pray and you can fall on your face before the Lord. I've done that. I'm sure you've done that too. There are times, as I told the early service, when no one is here, like Saturdays is my work day. Man, I'm here all day long, and I'm praying, and I'm seeking God for the sermon for today. And there are times I'll come into this sanctuary. Sometimes I just sit right there and bow before the Lord. There are times that I just lay down here because I really just want to sleep. But no, I have fallen asleep. Isn't that terrible? That's what happens when you get, once you pass 45, it's woo. So 46, like I'm at now, you'll understand. No. So he starts praying. But I want you to notice about Jesus' posture of prayer. It says that he did something. He lifted up his eyes to heaven. Why is it, and I'm so guilty of this, you're guilty of this, why is it, even when I prayed at the pulpit, how many people bowed their head and closed their eyes? That's what I did. Where's that in the Bible? Lord, like, what are you looking down for? There's nobody down there, Bill. Do you understand? Why did we do that? Who did that? Who started that? Was it a Baptist? No, this is, God forgive me, this is, he made me like this. So when I say Baptist or Presbyterian, I love everyone. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm teasing with you. It keeps your attention, if you know what I mean. Yeah, he lifted up his eyes. Why? When you lift up your eyes, you lift up to the one who is exalted above all of the earth. The throne room is in heaven, and God's footstool is the earth. Amen? Listen, that's the proper way to really pray. And you know, when you pray quiet. You ever pray silently? You know what happens when you pray silently? All of a sudden, you start thinking about what you're not doing. You know, like, golly, I forgot I got to buy that today, or I've got to pick that up. But when you pray and you can hear yourself, it's totally different. Jesus prayed. You could hear him. He lifted his eyes. That's the perfect posture of prayer. And he says, Father, the hour has come. What does that mean? It means what they planned all the way back in eternity before there was ever a heaven, before there was ever an earth, rather, and all those things, what they planned in eternity. Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation, before the foundation of the world. Amen? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Jesus said, the hour has come. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to go to the cross. And then they're going to put me in a tomb. You're going to raise me from the dead. And I'm going to ascend to the right hand of God. And all power and all authority is mine. Amen? And he's there for us. Jesus said, my hour has come to defeat the devil, to defeat death, to defeat mankind's sin. That's what he is meaning right there. And he says, as you have given him authority or power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life, as to many has been given unto him. Think about that. Eternal life. Now, you know what eternal life is? Did you know that everybody is going to live forever? Okay? But this, it's not so much when you say eternal life, it's the quality of life that we have. Listen, we have God's unending life living in us right now. And when we're going to be with God forever, and no one on earth but a believer has the life of God in him. Man, and I think, oh, Lord. And look what it says. Again, it says that you should give eternal life to as many as you have given him, meaning unto Jesus. Believers are God's gift to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever heard that expression? You just think you're a gift or God's gift, you know, whatever. Well, you are. You really, really are. You're God's gift to Jesus. What a, man, we need to get our thinking right, loved one, as we enter 2021. He says, and this is eternal life, that you may know the only, say that word only, only true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent me. Now, to know God, that means to know him intimately, not to know about him. To know God is to have eternal life, and eternal life is found only through one person, and that is by believing in Jesus Christ our Lord. But what I love about Jesus' prayer is he settled something. He said there in his word from his own lips, he says there is only one true God. That means every other supposed God is a lie and a false God. Amen. There is only one God, one true God. He says, I have glorified you on earth, Jesus said. I've revealed you, Father, to mankind. He says, I finished the work which you have given me to do, and that means to redeem mankind. Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. When he gets up on the cross and they hang him on the cross, what's the last thing he says in John 19:30? He cries out, it is finished. Not one thing remains for the salvation of those who will trust in me. He says, it is finished. It's over. Now listen to me. Jesus has said the hour has come, my hour, but our hour has come too. We are getting ready to move into a brand new year. Listen, and it's time to prepare your hearts and your minds for the New Year's message. It's time to prepare your hearts and minds to move into 2021. And listen, as we do so, we need to have a mindset and a heart set that says, here's what I'm going to do. I want to glorify Jesus Christ in all that I do. I want to glorify him at Calvary Chapel, in my workplace, in my home place, in everything that I do, in this world, in this city, in this state. Everything that we do, we want to glorify the Lord. Now listen, if we truly desire that, oh, what's going to happen? Listen, can I encourage you to do something? For 2021, don't make a bunch of New Year's resolutions. You're not going to keep them. You know, I don't mean that negatively. I love you, but listen, come on. If you're going, here's the only New Year's resolution that you need. In 2021, I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. You don't need anything else. I'm telling you, that's it. And he says in verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had, that's past tense, which I had with you when? Before the world was. Jesus said, restore to me what I shared with you before the world ever began. Can you, Jesus has been on this planet for 33 years in our text. Can you imagine the culture shock that he was in? I mean, I'm not saying he was shocked, but I would be shocked. Let's put it that way. I mean, can you imagine a country boy that's only wore 501s all of his life and white socks, and I mean, that's what they wore back when I was a kid. All of a sudden, here you are, there's not over 300 people in the entire town, not one red light, not even a post office. Well, I think there was a post office, is at the bank. You know, no police department, no fire department. You know what I'm saying? That's a country town, isn't it? And then all of a sudden, you find out you've been drafted. And you find yourself shipped all the way overseas, and you're in another world and another culture, and you're seeing things that you've never even heard about. Does that make sense? Can you imagine Jesus leaving the throne room of heaven and becoming a bondservant, becoming obedient to the point of death. Bondservant means taking the rung on the lowest ladder, the lowest status in the world, doing it for you and me. Can you imagine the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords being placed in a feed trough, a manger, because there's no room for him in the inn? And growing up in a world that is so filthy and so vile and so wicked, and yet he is without sin. Do you think it was different? Listen, Jesus is the God-man, loved one. He says in this prayer, reverse my self-emptying. Jesus didn't empty himself, Philippians 2, if you'll read it later, beginning in verse 5 and following. Jesus didn't empty himself of his deity. He is God. Jesus was 100% God, 100% human. Amen? He was the God. He is now the God-man. He is in heaven for you, and he's there for me. The Bible says in 1 John or John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In the beginning, he was in the beginning with God. Man, listen. Do you ever wonder or think, there he is in Bethlehem, he's born, Mary, Joseph. Don't you think the whole world should have been there rejoicing? Oh, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world. Jesus left heaven for you. Jesus died on the cross for you. Jesus is coming again for you. Amen. And right this very minute, I'm teaching and Jesus is making intercession for me. The Holy Spirit working through me for his perfect will, not mine. Do you understand? He always lives to make intercession for you and for me. And you'll notice in this that Jesus does something. In his prayer, verses 1 through 26, he's going to mention the word world 19 times. He's not talking, when he uses that word, he's not talking about the bees and the flowers and the trees and the rivers and the fish and the moon. He's talking about the world system that is antichrist, the world system that is against God and doesn't want anything to do with God. There are only two kingdoms, loved one, on this planet, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the devil. Amen. And there are all people are either in one or the other. There are no other places for a person to be. They're either a child of God, 1 John 3:10, or they're a child of the wicked one, the devil. Whew, what a word. Now, look at verse 6 as Jesus prays for his disciples. He says, I have revealed, I have manifested your name. I've made you known. He says, to the men whom you've given me out of the world. There is that word again. They were yours, but you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things that you have given me are from you. Now let's look at the things. It says things, plural, all things. For I have given to them the words, plural, which you've given to me, and they have received them, they've welcomed them. Thank God they did. Amen. They received him into their heart. They obeyed them. They turned their world upside down. We need to do the same. He says, they've received them and have known surely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, surely that I come forth from you. They have believed that you sent me. Now, I want you to catch something. Jesus, our Lord, is God. He is the creator of the world. He is the sustainer of the world. By him, all things consist. Amen? He's the super glue of the universe, as one scholar said. Now listen, Jesus could have given his disciples anything. Boys, I'm getting ready to leave town, and I'm going to give each of you a mansion, okay? You can live in this mansion. It's going to be, do you understand what I mean? He could have given them anything. But what did he give them? He gave them the most important thing in all of the universe. Jesus said, I have given unto them your words, Father, your words. And they have received him. They have welcomed them. They have believed them. Loved one, listen to me. I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, the most important thing in the world Jesus gave unto them and to us, and that is the holy, truthful Word of God. What did Jesus tell us? He said, man does not live by bread alone, Matthew 4:4, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you treasure the word of God? I know people, I'm never going to mark in my Bible. Okay, then buy you a Bible that you can mark in. Amen. This is my unmarked Bible. And do you know, I have an unmarked Bible. I teach out of an unmarked Bible. I never teach out of a marked Bible where I put notes. You know why? Because I don't teach old manna. I teach fresh manna. That's why I always teach out of a Bible. I study out of a Bible without notes. And you know, but I have Bibles where I do all of my marking and splicing and my red pen that takes it there and all the color coding. And then after I've done it, I don't even know why I did it. You know, now I'm more confused than when I started. But the Word of God is vital. It's important. One scholar writes this about God's Word. The most important yardstick by which a church can be measured is not how large it is, how good its fellowship is, how interesting the pastor is. And I am interesting, by the way, but oh, thank you. Never mind. God help me. It is not how good the music is, and it is good. It's not how well the grounds are kept up or how respected it is in the community. The most important measure of any church is how it handles the Word of God, whether or not they teach the Word of God, live out the Word of God. That's the key issue, because a church's responsibility before God is to guard and proclaim the truths of Scripture. Amen? And that is why Calvary Chapels, most of them, all of them, I know this one does, we teach through the whole 66 books of the Bible. Amen? That's very important. The Word of God, how glorious it is. You know that the Bible says that God has exalted His Word above His very name. Psalm 138:2, I think. I may be wrong on that. Oh, you should go find that out and memorize that. Now, and He says, watch this, verse 9. Jesus said, I pray for them. Remember, He's lifting up His eyes to heaven. I pray for them. He said, I don't pray for the world. I pray for whom? Look at it. For those you have given me, for they are yours. Question. If Jesus doesn't pray for the world, does that mean, or in there, does that mean that Jesus doesn't care about the lost? Of course not. Don't ever think that in your mind. No, Jesus died for the world. Amen? John 3:16. No, what Jesus is doing here, He's praying for those who are going to change those in the world. And that's our job as well. Watch it. Verse 10. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. You know, what are we going to do with that? What are you really going to do with that prayer of Christ right there? Jesus just said something. He said, I'm going to be glorified in them. Is Jesus glorified in you? Think about that. I have to say, when I study and prepare, I question me. I said, Lord, I don't think I'm glorifying you. And you prayed for me to glorify you. Is that that you're glorified in me. How in the world is that going to happen when I'm such a mess? And listen, what gives me such great hope, if you remember the whole story, when Jesus said that, about how long is it going to be before the disciples are going to be sleeping? Remember? Jesus is going to cross the Kidron Brook. He's going to go up to the garden to pray. The temple police, the soldiers, they're on their way, lanterns and swords and so forth, along with Judas, to betray our Lord with a kiss, okay? And Jesus said, so can you not just tarry with me 1 hour? They were over there sleeping. Listen, in a few minutes from that time Jesus said that, are they going to be scattered? Yes. Is Peter going to deny the Lord 3 times? Yes. Are they going to go run and be in hiding and lock themselves in a room? Yes. So when Jesus said, I'm going to be glorified in them, I can say, okay, because they were really messed up. And that gives me such hope. Amen. No, listen, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, when you prayed that prayer and they're the 11, they're traveling with you, you probably said that and looked right at them. I'm not saying you did, But I can tell you what, he did not see Peter, John, and Matthew, Nathaniel, Philip. He didn't see them as failures. Do you understand? He saw them as men. He knew they were going to obey him. He knew they were going to turn their world upside down. They're going to build the church to be glorified in Christ, for him to be glorified in our lives. What do we have to do? We have to be obedient. We have to do what he tells us to do. We have to obey the word by faith. And that, listen, 2021, that may be our last year. Do you know that? We don't know. We don't know the year. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But why don't we right now go through your Christmas and then start setting your heart and your mind by saying, the Lord's going to be glorified in my life, in my prayer time, in my marriage, in my college, whatever, my business, whatever I'm doing, that will bring honor to our Lord. That's my allergies, don't worry. Now, I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. I'm going home by via the cross, you know, and so forth. Holy Father, keep them, guard them through your name, those you have given me, that they may be, look at this, that they may be one as we are. That perfect unity. Can you believe that? I say, oh Lord, what did Jesus say in John 10:30? He said, listen, my Father and I are one. And he says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them, I guarded them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I kept, and none of them is lost except the son of destruction, the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, speaking, of course, Psalm 41:9, talking of Judas. Now listen very carefully. When you read that, Judas has never been and never will be an example of a believer that lost his salvation. Judas never believed. Judas was not a sheep. Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the good shepherd. He does not lose those that are his. Amen? So he was never saved. The Bible tells us that the devil entered his heart. The Bible tells us that he was a thief from the beginning. The Bible tells us that he was a traitor, okay? But he was not a believer. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world. Why? That they may have my joy. Say that with me. My joy. Jesus' joy fulfilled or brought to completion where? In them, in themselves. Listen, you know what Jesus just did? Jesus' prayer, and his prayer is always answered if we'll just believe it. Listen, Jesus prays for them, for us, to have his joy in a troubled world. I believe, and I think I could put myself right there with you, I believe that some of my joy has been stolen in 2020. I miss seeing the church. I miss meeting new people. I miss seeing your faces. I miss you. We've been robbed. You wait till 2021. You know, Jesus said, my joy is available. We have to see if we don't think right, if we don't believe right, that joy is there. It's just not acquired, is it? I mean, used. So we have to be wise in all that we do. And listen, we have to move, Calvary. We have to move in the 2021 and claim what belongs to us. And we have to claim what has been stolen from us. The Bible tells us, what did Nehemiah cry out in Nehemiah 8:10? He says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. No matter what we face, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We've overcome the world. We have the word of God. Listen, Jesus said in John 15:11, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. That's overflowing. And you know how joy comes? Is when we step out and obey the Lord. Amen? Then we're walking with the Lord. We're traveling with the Lord. We're going down the narrow road. He says, I've given them your word, And the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not pray, listen to this now, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep or protect them from the devil, the evil one. Man, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. You know, Jesus prayed, Father, protect them. He's protecting. Do you know we're being protected from the wicked one right now? The Bible tells us in Thessalonians, it tells us that the wicked one touches us not. He can tempt you. He can try to oppress you, but he can't put a hand on you. He cannot repossess you. Does that make sense? You are bought at a price. You belong to the Lord. Man, we've been translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We belong to God. He can never belong to the kingdom of darkness again. Amen? But we're being protected right now. Jesus prayed that. Protect them from this wicked one, but let them remain in a world that is flooded with wickedness and evil. Why? Well, their business is the same business as ours. We are the ambassadors for Christ. Amen? We're his representatives here on this planet. Now listen to me, loved one. We've been through so much this year. The pandemic and the things that are happening and being sheltering in place and the layoffs and the food lines and the things that just continue. And then the crazy, insane election and the fighting and the division, all these things. And we have to get our mindset renewed for 2021. And that is this. Man can never, and man will never make this world better. We have to, no. Never. Only the creator of this world can do that, and his name is Jesus Christ. Everybody's talking about the problems. The problem, you know, listen, the problem is not Black Lives Matter. The problem is not White Lives Matter. The problem is not All Lives Matter. The problem is not China, however. You bet, if you want to start studying something, you better study what's happening. Oh, listen, that's something else. The problem is not the Democrats or the socialists. The problem is not the Republicans. And the problem is not the filthy, stinking environment of global warming, whatever you want to call it, that we live in. The problem is the dirty, filthy, desperately wicked hearts of fallen man. And the only way that a person's dirty, filthy, vile, desperately wicked heart can be changed is for someone like you to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Do you understand? See, we are the answer. We are the church is the answer. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Amen? We are the answer. We have the answer to the problems in this life, to this fallen world. That's why Jesus said, look at it, sanctify them. Set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. Praise the Lord. So we are set apart, just like Jesus said, they're set apart. Holy unto the Lord. Set apart for the plans, the purposes of God. We are his vessels. We're created for good works. What are we set apart for? The same mission as they. Look at verse 18. As you sent me, here's the mission. As you sent me into the world, I've also sent them into the world. Why? Because the world is filled with lost people, spiritually dead people, people that are not only dead in trespasses and sins, but they live under the sway of the wicked one, and they have no idea that they're under the sway, the control of the wicked one. No, listen, the purpose, we have the same mission that Jesus has. He's Acts 1:8, he's given us the power to be his witnesses, amen. Acts 10:38, we're to do the same thing, be imitators of God. We're to go out, and those that are oppressed by the devil, we are to bring healing to their lives, amen, just like Jesus did. That's what we're to do. Listen, Jesus came as the light, we are to be the light. He came to seek the saved and the lost, that's what we're to do, seek and save the lost. Mark 1:17, Jesus said, follow me, let's have an adventure together. Come with me now. Travel with me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of of men. That's what we're called to do. And he says, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself. I set myself apart, meaning I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to the tomb. I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to ascend to the Father. And here's the purpose, that they may also be sanctified by truth. So we have been set apart for the good, God's purposes, and look what we've for us when he prays. Now, watch this, verse 20. And I don't pray for these, Jesus said, alone, meaning the 11, but also for those who believe in me through their word. Now, that's what we're doing right now, believing, teaching the word from the apostles, the writers of the new covenant. Amen? Yes. So what does Jesus do? Look at it. He says, I don't pray for these alone, but I'm praying for those who will believe in me through their word. So what does Jesus do? In a few hours, he's going to die on the cross, but he now looks past the cross. He looks down through the centuries, all the way down through the years. 2,000 years ago, he prayed this prayer. He prayed for you. He prayed for me. He knows everything that's going to happen. He prayed for those who will be saved today, those who will be saved in 2021, those who will be saved before the end of time. Jesus is praying right now for you, for me. Oh, praise the Lord. And what does Jesus pray for hours before the cross? He prays for our unity. Look at it. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. And what's that unity for? Look at it. That the world may believe that you sent me. Listen, this unity, Jesus did not pray for numerical strength. He didn't pray for financial strength. He certainly didn't pray for the worldwide ecumenical church where we're all the same. He's not praying for that. He's not even praying for denominational unity, because there's no, you can be a Baptist, you can be a Calvary Chapelite, you can be a Methodist. That doesn't create unity. Do you understand? That doesn't create unity at all. No. It's not sameness, loved one. It's oneness. Oneness with the Lord. You know, as we move forward into 2021, what I would give to see next year, what God would give to see all of us in agreement, all of us walking with one accord, with one heart, with one mind, with one Lord, with one baptism. Amen. Where we're all in unity. We're all, where everyone serves. Everyone is serving. Where we're all giving and supporting the work of God. Our number one priority is Jesus. That unity that we have, loved one. Listen, we have to have that next year to do what God is calling us to do. You know, in Ephesians 4:3, remember, it tells us about the unity of the church. Paul writes and he says, endeavoring, that word means be eager to maintain something. It says, endeavoring to keep or literally to guard the unity of the church. The unity, of the Spirit, which is the bond of peace. And then he says, and there is one body. We're just one. All of us are one. We're members one of another. We're members of Christ. Amen? And without Jesus, there's no body. Without Jesus, there's no life. Listen, Jesus is the vine, we're the branches, and we should not only maintain the unity, we should manifest that unity to this fallen world, because we're filled with his presence, with his power, with his plans, and with his purposes. And it says also in Ephesians that we're of one spirit. Man, we all are saved the same way. Sealed with the same Spirit until the very day of redemption. We're filled with the same Spirit. We're washed with the same blood. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. We're a supernatural people. Did you know that? But we have to manifest that. The psalmist has written in Psalm 133:1, behold how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let's manifest that in 21. Amen. Now let's hurry. Let's finish this stuff. It says, in the glory which you gave me, Jesus said, I've given them that they may be one just as we are one. I and them and you and me, and that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you've sent me and have loved me as you have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am. Where's Jesus right now? Heaven. And that they may behold my glory. Thank you, Jesus, which you've given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Listen, heaven is real. Heaven is home for us. Amen. This is not our world. This is a world that is not going to make it, loved one. What did Jesus say in the upper room discourse in chapter 14 of John? First, he said, listen, let your heart be not troubled. You believe in God. He says, believe also in me. You know, listen, I don't want a troubled heart. I don't want to look at the world and say, oh, my heart is just full of troubles. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe in Jesus. Amen. I'm going to believe what he said. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places, plural, a whole bunch of them. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you so. But I go to prepare a place, that's singular, by the way, a place for you, your own personal place. I go, how? By the cross, through death, it's going to cost. He says, you have a place in heaven. You have a home in heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. I mean, I can't imagine what it's going to be like the day that we're there. We've read Revelation so many times, no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain, no more suffering, no more light, no more day. Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. No more funerals, no more cancer, no more pandemics. We're going to live in a city where tears are not allowed. Every tear is going to be wiped away. Uh-uh, you can't do that here, man. Outer darkness, see you later. No, I'm joking. Do you understand me? No, listen, we're really going to be there. To be absent from your body is to be present with the Lord. We're going to be right there with him. Now listen, he said, I will come again. What is Jesus saying? I told you last Sunday what that meant. Is it evening or is it just evening? You know what I mean? That's the catching away. This is the rapture of the church in John 14. Listen, Matthew's gospel again, we don't know the day. We don't know the hour. We're to watch. We are to be ready. The Son of God is coming, hour you do not expect. It says in John 14:4, and Jesus said, and where I go, you know the way. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What did Jesus just say? I'm the way home. I'm the way to your eternal home, loved one. And look at how Jesus concludes. I don't know how to teach this. Look what he says. Oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I've known you. These have known that you have sent me. Now look at verse 26. I have declared to them your name and will declare it. Now watch this. That the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Did you know that that prayer has been answered for you? The last part of that prayer has been answered for you. The last thing that Jesus prayed, look at it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. In them. It is. Is God's love in us? Romans 5:5, and this hope doesn't disappoint, for the love of God, his love, the love of God has been shed abroad, poured out lavishly in our heart by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. Man, it says, this love in them. It is. It's in us right now. Do you really believe that? God's love is right in you. And then it says, Jesus said, I in them. Is Jesus in us? Colossians 1:27, Christ in me. Right now, the hope of glory. Oh, listen. I've been crucified with Christ. Amen. I died. Oh, in the life that I live by the faith and the power of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. That's what Paul said. I got it all mixed up, but you got the gist of it. Now listen. We got to have that in our heart. This love that we have, that God has been given unto us, has to be manifested to this stinking world that we live in. And here's the deal. In 2021, celebrate Christmas. Have a wonderful time. Like I told the early service, you know, if you don't have any money for Christmas, do what I do. I go and steal packages off other people's church porches and take them home. You know that's not true. Can I have your address? No, I'm joking. Listen, we have to. We don't have a choice. We don't belong to the world. We belong to Him. We have to manifest this love now. Do you understand? We have to manifest the love that is in us, and we have to move forward in 2021 with a true heart, with a true commitment to Christ, and truly believe that love never fails. There in the upper room, after Jesus had washed their feet, what did Jesus do? He gave them the greatest commandment, the new commandment in John 13:34. And He says, "And a new commandment I give unto you." He says that ye love one another as I love you, to the same degree that I've loved you. You love one another. By this, the whole world will know that you're my disciples. By this, not because you go to church, not because you know the Bible backwards and forwards, not because you flow in the gifts of the Spirit or you have miracles in your life and ministry. No. The litmus test of a true disciple of Jesus Christ is by this they will know. And that is love. Think about that. That's been shed abroad in your heart. Can we allow that prayer that Jesus prayed to be answered in this church in 2021 and move forward like we have never? We need to just, I have it, I'm ready to move in and take it back. Oh, I can't wait till January 3rd. When I can deliver what the Lord has given unto me. God is so good. Loved one, listen, maybe you're at home. Maybe you're listening on the radio right now. Maybe you're in the chapel. Maybe you're gathered around your family. You're on the back porch or you're driving your car. I don't know where you are. You may be hurting. You may be alone. You may be in the hospital. You may be all over the place. I don't know. But I want you to know something. Jesus prayed for you. He prayed for you. Jesus wants you to be saved. Think about that. He prayed for you 2,000 years ago. Let me read it to you. Jesus said in verse 20, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe." Future tense. Who will believe in me through their word. I'm preaching the word right now. And here's the deal. Will you believe in Him? You that are listening online, if you've never asked Christ Jesus to be your Lord, will you believe in Him? Because this world is passing away. Please don't pass away with it. Don't do that. For it is indeed passing away. Don't be left behind. The church one day is going to be removed. Why don't you come to Jesus? And then why don't you come with us as we move into 2021? Our greatest adventure is waiting for us. It's going to be a great, great adventure. I can't wait. You don't know Christ right now. Just tell Him, "Jesus, save me. Just save me. Come into my heart. Come into my life right this minute. Forgive me. Make me your very own." Just say those things and mean it in your heart, and God will save you. Father, we thank you. We praise you for this word. We're preparing our hearts, Lord, for Christmas. We're preparing our hearts for January, the new year. We're going to take it by storm. We're not going to lay down. We're not going to let up. We're not going to give up. We're going to stand up. We're going to walk in the Spirit. We're going to be led by the Spirit. We're the sons of God. We're the daughters of God. We're co-heirs with Christ. And no weapon formed against us will ever prosper. Why? You, our Lord, you are praying for us right now. Oh God, we love you, we praise you, we give you glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. I feel better. It feels good to come to church, doesn't it? Stay safe out there. Amen. We're going to close with a song. If you need prayer after the song is over, those...